Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Among the genetic studies of animals last year was a canine one that looked at the number of genetic mutations in purebred dogs versus village dogs and ancient canine ancestors. It came as no surprise that the purebred dogs have many more mutations and smaller gene pools than their free-roaming and wild counterparts. In the case of purebred dogs, this information was presented as a big negative, which it is. However, it's just one of many studies that gives the impression that mutations are universally bad. There are times when having a small gene pool can be advantageous. Typically, this occurs in extremely harsh environments. Let's look at a human analogy here. If you lived in a community in an area where there were extreme climatic and geographic conditions, such as high mountains or thin air, poor soil, in order to survive in that environment, you would need to have special characteristics. When this is the case, who is going to be the more logical mate? The person who has none of those characteristics, none of those qualities, or the person who does? However, and just like our purebred dogs, there's a risk in taking this approach. The more specialized you are, the less adaptable you are. The more specialized you are, the more vulnerable to changes in your environment. We see evidence of this all around us. As the climate changes, as habitats are destroyed, and wild animals are being forced to scramble and adapt quickly, and those who can't die. Purebred dogs are facing a completely different type of climate change. On the one hand, if they're being bred to perform a specific function, such as to hunt or to perform and look good in a show ring, and they are not placed in such an environment, they are going to be similar to the proverbial duck out of water. The mutations and genetic adaptations that enable them to excel on the hunt or in the ring may turn out to be liabilities in a complex companion animal household. On the other hand, if they do spend their lives in that environment where they're able to shine, any negative costs of those mutations on their physiology, on their health, are outweighed by the benefits. In wild animals, when analyzing wild environments, we think in terms of predators and competitors. Often we don't do that with companion animals. We tell ourselves there are no predators, except maybe cars. But there are human predators out there. We humans who have our predatory expectations of what we want our dogs to do and how we want our dogs to do it. And the same with our cats, and the same with our horses. Oh, we don't think of ourselves as predators, let alone emotional and energy vampires. But if you look at it in terms of the demands and the expectations versus the animal's natural ability to fulfill these, you can see that they're making quite a sacrifice. As far as the United States is concerned, I don't see the purebred canine situation changing as it is in the UK and Europe, because the interest isn't there. Regardless what we like to tell ourselves, we're not as humane a nation or a society. We're very captivated by looks, more so than substance. And we set up an entire system that whose idea of addressing health concerns in purebred animals is to fund the creation of testing to make genetic connections so that even more animals may be eliminated from the purebred gene pool. I don't see that as a solution. I see it as part of the problem.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.